We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Flash right now.
And good morning from the 1250 AM The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, you wanted a wide receiver, I wanted a wide receiver. The Packers, they're going to give you a wide receiver. They're planning to sign wide receiver Seth Roberts after he was released from the Carolina Panthers. Roberts caught four balls for 31 yards in seven games this season, had gone without a catch in each of the team's last three games, wasn't even targeted on Sunday despite playing a season-high 19 snaps on offense. The Packers intend to sign Roberts to their practice squad initially to get a start with the team. Last night, Monday Night Football, Josh Reynolds and Gerald Everett caught touchdown passes from Jared Goff as the Rams won a matchup of two dominant defenses. They beat the Bears 24-10. Goff, 219 yards through the air. Malcolm Brown rushed for a score for the Rams. They're now 5-2. The Bears 5-2, meaning the Packers wake up atop the NFC North. The Dodgers look to wrap up the World Series tonight at 7 p.m. in Game 6 against the Rays. They lead that series 3-2. The Rays will turn to Blake Snell to try to force a Game 7. Quarterback news for number 9 Wisconsin. They might be down to their four-string quarterback after Chase Wolf tested positive for COVID-19. Wolf, the Badgers' third-string quarterback, was not at Monday's practice after testing positive for the virus, according to the Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin State Journal. Both reported on Sunday that Graham Mertz, who started the season opener on Friday, tested positive over the weekend. Wisconsin was awaiting the result of a PCR test to confirm Mertz's result or rule it a false positive. Again, according to the Big Ten COVID-19 protocols, both Mertz and Wolf would have to miss a minimum of 21 days if those tests are positive. Read more online, 1250amthefan.com. Coming up, it's the Bart Winkler Morning Show. We're talking Packers football, Wisconsin quarterback situation, and more here on The Fan.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable. Live and local, it's time for The Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, happy to have you. It is a football Tuesday. Yesterday was a football Monday. Tomorrow will be a football Wednesday. We've got a football Thursday and a football Friday all coming up. We'll sprinkle some baseball in today. World Series could come to an end tonight. We'll sprinkle some basketball in this week. We will. But primarily right now, what's going on? It's football. And I think a lot of us sat down to watch Bears-Rams last night just to figure out for ourselves, as Packer fans, mainly, this Bears team good? Are they any good? They were 5-1 coming into the night, and we're wondering, so how good are they? And with the Packers coming up, they're 5-1 now, and they're a good team. The toughest team they played, though, they got smoked by in Tampa Bay. And then you look at Chicago, and they beat Tampa Bay. And I'm trying to think back to that game. I'm trying to remember how. I think it's just a case of Tom Brady's got some thing he can't beat Nick Foles. Because you watched the Bears last night, and they were really never in that game. Rams beat Chicago 24-10. Rams offense looked good. Rams defense looked good. Rams special teams looked better. It's still weird to me that kicking is as prevalent in this sport as it is. And this is coming from a place where, good morning, if you don't know, I grew up playing soccer. And I got made fun of. I got made fun of a lot because all we do is kick. And I didn't play the big, manly, tough sport of football. And then I watch a football game and it's, oh, the kicker makes a field goal and it's a winner. Or not to like softly do a George Carlin bit here, but the kicker, then Johnny Hecker has a watermelon punt and it goes down to the two. It just always amazes me that this sport that is supposed to be A-gap and trenches, fortify, a lot of it comes down to kicking. And last night, Johnny Hecker was probably the best player in that game because of kicking, punting. So I just find that weird. I don't know. Is that coming from just a place because I've grew up playing soccer and I may have in the back of my very back of my head a like complex? Or is it weird that this sport where guys can be 300 pounds and get millions of dollars to push another guy 2 feet off the line of scrimmage, a lot of these games come down to if a guy can kick a ball through the uprights? Is that weird?
No. I mean, I don't know. It's been the same way since I've been watching football. Special teams, very important. I mean, I hate blowing games due to kickers. That's why I hate sometimes college football, relying on kickers.
What if the sport didn't have kickers? What if on fourth down you had to go for it or you lost the ball or you couldn't ever kick extra points or field goals?
I wouldn't like it. I kind of just like football the way it is, so I don't mind kickers. I don't mind punters. I miss special teams. I miss when there were kick returns and there weren't a flag on every play. So I don't know. I guess I never really pay attention. I don't know.
Oh, it's all I think about. I think about what if football was this way forever with no kickers, and then in the year 2020, they added kickers and punters. We would panic. We would say, you can't bring kicking into this game. This sport is not for feet. You can't do it.
I like it. I like the pressure situations. I like a good 60-yard field goal attempt. And who doesn't like punts, man? We're Big Ten guys. You're a Big Ten guy. You got to like punts, especially if you're a Badgers fan. They don't even got a quarterback. There are going to be a lot of punts this weekend if there's even a game. So, I don't know. I just never really think of it. I hear people always, like Ross Tucker does something on that too about kickers. And I don't know, man. Football's been the same way since I've been watching it for 100 years.
Well, I know, but every time that a game comes down to a kick, I think it's so funny.
Why? What are you talking about this morning?
I grew up playing soccer.
Yeah.
I got made fun of for kicking.
Okay.
I watch a sport that's so manly, and a lot of it comes down to kicking. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense to me.
I don't know. Okay. Agree to disagree. I mean, I don't know. What are you saying?
I don't know either. I wanted to talk about the Bears, and I was going to say being a Bears fan, it must be like being a Brewers fan, and you know, I wonder what being a Bears fan is like, and then I was going through who the stars of the game were last night.
I mean, I'm sure Bears fans would...
And I realized it was the punter.
He was awesome last night. I'm sure Bears fans would agree with you because, you know, if it doesn't come down to field goal kickers, Cody Parkey doesn't double-doink that kick against the Eagles a couple years ago, and they win a playoff game. But as a Packers fan, hell, one of the best weapons we got on this team is Mason Crosby. So, I like it. Now, the good thing about the Packers is they rarely have to punt. So when J.K. Scott does make an appearance, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot this guy's even on the team. Not punting a whole lot this year, minus against Tampa Bay when you're punting every drive. So, yeah, sure. How about that? I agree. It's weird.
Ryan, I used to get pushed in the hallway by the fourth-string offensive lineman who wore his jersey on Friday, never played, thought he was the coolest thing ever.
Well, you should have joined the football team as a kicker. Or the punter.
The irony in that is that I couldn't really kick that far.
Wow. You know what's funny? When I was a junior in high school,
I could kick with accuracy.
There was a soccer player.
But I couldn't really kick that far.
And he ended up being our kicker, and he was like kicking like 60 yarders one day on the practice field. And he ended up being the kicker. And I don't think when my grandpa was the coach at Julia Catholic, he never kicked field goals, so he would actually agree with you. So when my grandpa coached for 50 years, he wouldn't kick field goals. He would go for two, after every single touchdown on the conversion. So it didn't matter if they were up like 50-0, 60-0, and they were rolling in their freshman and fourth stringers. He just didn't believe in kicking. He'd punt, but a lot of times, like, they would do this thing called, like, well, it was like the Puma punt, where you'd, like, line up in your formation, then everybody would drop back, and you'd just try to pin them, and you're, like, running back or quarterback would end up ultimately being the punter. But he never kicked field goals. He just went for two every single time. So I remember, like, as a junior, I was amazed that this kid was a senior kicking, like, 60-yarders. And then he hit one in the playoffs. And I don't think I don't know if they still kick field goals, because where I went to high school, they're actually not playing high school football until the spring. But so I guess it's kind of weird. I don't know.
All right, maybe I didn't present it well enough. I've been really trying to explain my point on this for a long, long time, and this provided the perfect opportunity, because Johnny Hecker was the best player in that game last night, and he was a punter. He pinned the Bears inside the 20 five times, and every time the Bears looked like they had an opportunity or stop, I mean, how frustrating would that be? You're a Packer fan, or a Bear fan, rather, and you get a big stop, and you're like, all right, we got turnover on downs, and then you got to start at the one.
Well, I think they've just come to expect that that's
start the five.
Like, the defense, that's all they do is stop, make stops, and then hand the ball over to the offense to do absolutely nothing. Nick Foles was terrible last night. If I was Nagy, and see, this is the problem, man. This is why I said I probably would have just stuck with Trubisky, because as crazy as that sounds, at least Trubisky could, like, use his legs a little bit and can make some athletic plays. And with Aaron Donald and the boys just crashing in on Foles last night, I mean, A, he had no time in the pocket. The Bears' offensive line is atrocious. Matt Nagy refuses to run the ball. And then at the end of the game, Allen Robinson, I believe, gets concussed. But, I mean, I would have almost just stuck with Trubisky, because now you can't go back to Trubisky now that you've made the switch over to Foles. And Foles, like, the Super Bowl run, that was not Nick Foles. Like, last year in Jacksonville, that was Nick Foles. Granted, week one he gets injured, and that's how he loses his spot. But they tried to go back to him, and they saw he's not a starting quarterback.
No, Nick Foles is good, but he can't.
He's a good game manager on a good team, like the Eagles were when they won a Super
Bowl. Nick Foles is not a 16-game quarterback.
No, he's a backup for a reason.
But he's a good backup. He'll come in and, oh, you know, it's like when Jeff Hostetler replaced Phil Sims and they won.
Yeah. I mean, he's
the Giants. You're not going to – Jeff Hostetler's not a starting quarterback, but you needed him to come in and get it done, and he got it done. You're not going to let the guy start for 16 games. It'd be like in radio if a guy filled in for 2 days and was really good, and you're like, oh, this guy's great, but then you gave him a full week, and then he sucked.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in – with Foles, I mean, that's the kind of backup quarterback that you want, though. There's a reason those guys get all the money. There's a reason why last year Teddy Bridgewater was the highest paid backup quarterback, because if you're a team like the Saints last year, like the Bears this year, and you got a good defense and your quarterback goes down, well, the Bears are a bad example because they just didn't trust in their guy. But, I mean, I'd feel more comfortable with Nick Foles as the backup quarterback on the Green Bay Packers than Tim Boyle. Nothing against Boyle, but I mean, I've seen him take a couple snaps this year. One of them he fumbled. Usually, I mean, those snaps are just kneels, but I'd feel more comfortable with a veteran like that.
Doug's in Racine, 799-1250. Doug, you agree with me that it's weird that we kick in football?
Yeah, I just barely caught the...
Yeah, do you even understand what I'm saying? I started the show by saying it's weird that we kick in football, like that it's such a big part of the game. But if you want to talk about something else, feel free.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a good win. You know, I was indifferent. I didn't get in yesterday. I suspended myself a week from calling in because I bagged on somebody last week.
Self-suspension?
Yeah, from calling into the radio. So,
oh, well, welcome back.
Yeah, I wanted to say I'm glad the Bears are back, because I've been tired of Dallas radio on Sunday nights. Monday night, so I got last night 2 hours of Bears radio of ugly, can't believe this, go back to Trubisky. All the Bears fans were wonderful last night, kept me laughing.
I just think it would be so frustrating to be a Bears fan.
Oh, it was great. And then I need some professional advice here. You know, I've been listening to Dallas, and I need a owner's advice and a professional radio guy's advice. Is it too early to feel sorry for McCarthy? I mean, he is a highly successful coach, and he's a Dallas Cowboy coach, but I almost feel sorry for the guy.
No, I do feel sorry for him. I do. I know that Rodgers is like 19-6 without McCarthy, and McCarthy's like 2-1, 2-4 without Rodgers or whatever it is. So we can like say, yeah, we won because our guy's still here and he's not. But Mike McCarthy, you know, say what you want. He was there. He got us to a Super Bowl. He's got a street named after him. I felt sorry for him when the NFL Network piece aired last year. I felt sorry for him when he got kicked out of a JV basketball game. I felt sorry for him at the Dallas press conference when he was just admitting that he lied to Jerry Jones in the interview to get the job about how much he knew about the Cowboys. I feel sorry when his quarterback went down. I feel sorry when his next quarterback went down. I feel sorry when that quarterback goes down and it was a vicious hit and like none of the Cowboys cared. I feel sorry that his offensive line is all of the backups now. I feel sorry that the one guy that's still good, Ezekiel Elliott, can't hang on the football. I do. I feel sorry for Mike McCarthy. It's okay.
It's okay. All right. Hey, keep up the good work. Have a great show.
Yeah, you too. We'll try to have a good show. I think the first segment was kind of all over the place. My soccer complex came out to start the show, so I apologize for that. I'll stay off the – I wanted to experiment a little bit and see if that topic would go anywhere. It did not.
People agree with you. I think a lot of people hate kickers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I like – I don't know, man.
Why don't we put a poll up? Should the NFL ban kickers?
Fine. I will.
Don't, please, God.
Why?
Okay. What is this station? Who works it? What are you putting? What are you doing?
Should the NFL ban kickers?
My real question is it weird that they kick in football?
Is.
But then there's no context to that. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right, Ryan Wood's going to join us here in a couple of minutes, PackersNews.com.
Little morning Wood.
I will not ask him about the kicker situation. I don't think he needs to be bothered with that. But we'll talk some Green Bay Packers. We will talk about the game that happened on Sunday where the Packers get the win in Houston. And we'll talk about some of these other guys that maybe need to step up. A lot of good talent on the Packers, but there's still room for improvement. We'll talk about all that and more. Bart Winkler, Ryan Wood. Coming up, Ryan Horvath is here. Our good buddy Evan Heffelfinger doesn't get here until about 9:30. It's all here on The Fan.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Packers improved to 5-1. They grabbed the 35-20 victory against Houston on Sunday. Good performance. As you guys know, Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdowns, 2 of those to Devontae Adams, 13 grabs in total, 196 yards, setting a couple of Packer records. And they're 5-1. Yet they did it against a team that's not very good. Not to dismiss this win, but as we bring in Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, here's what I wonder, and this is the question that I have for myself and that we've had for people, Ryan. You look at this game. There's been 6 games they've played. 5 look the same, and then 1 looks different. You could call the Tampa Bay loss an anomaly, but that was also the game that they played the best defense. So when the Packers are up against a secondary that's not so good, Devontae Adams can have a game like he did on Sunday. And then if Devontae Adams is against a good corner, well, then you got the running game to utilize. But if you have a defense that you're going up against that can stop both, well, then you're going to be in a little bit of trouble, and that's what the Packers were against Tampa Bay. So did we learn anything from this game, or – did they just play another team that was weaker, and so they beat up on them, and we're going to have to wait to see how they do against, let's skip Minnesota already and see how they do against San Francisco?
I think we learned the Packers are a good enough football team to do against bad teams what good teams do against bad teams, which is beat them soundly. Good teams don't mess around with bad football teams. They put them away. And at halftime, the Packers were up 21-0. They had 21 points. The Texans had 24 plays. So this was a laugher, And that's what good teams are supposed to do against bad teams. So, you know, I wouldn't say we learned nothing. I think everything that happened gets graded on the curve of the Houston Texans because they are one of the worst teams in the league. It's just the Packers put them away like they should against one of the worst teams in the league.
Devontae was great. I mean, we've talked a lot about the Packers' weapons this year and how many do they really have and who counts as one. Devontae obviously is amazing. I want to look at him first because there were some plays I thought that LaFleur orchestrated that were really, really good. There was this 31-yard catch from Robert Tonyan where there were like four guys out. It was like kind of a burst thing where four guys ran and Rodgers just picked the pocket on the left side that he liked. And then I was surprised to hear after the game, LaFleur said, yeah, there were some plays we called and Rodgers just like checked out and, you know, hit Devontae. But I think what it showed is you've got Matt LaFleur and his extensive playbook and the things they want to do, but you can't take away from Rodgers that 16 years of experience. And if he's got a play called and, okay, it's going to be a 9-yard, whatever. If he looks and sees Devontae and knows he's one-on-one against the secondary cornerback, whoever, that's not very good, and the free safety's already cheating the other way, like Rodgers should be able to check out of that and get it to Devontae as he did. So I thought yesterday, in terms of are we learning anything, we're learning that this blending of what LaFleur's coaching and what Rodgers can do, it can be very successful.
No, I would agree. And I think that we've seen that when it's gone well for large parts of the season. A big key to that is how much better the Packers were in and out of the huddle on Sunday, something they did not do well in Tampa Bay. Because in order to have the pre-snap motions and all the busy activity before the snap that Matt LaFleur's scheme has – and provide Aaron Rodgers the autonomy before the snap to be able to check out of a play or to read the defense or use his hard count. You got to have time at the line of scrimmage, and they did that better. They did not do that well in Tampa. Now, as far as, I mean, I don't know what the Houston Texans thought they were doing against Devontae Adams, how they waited so long to start doubling him when he was uncoverable in single man. There was no adjustments, and it's kind of like Devontae Adams said after the game, you got to eat what's in front of you. But he was surprised, too. I mean, it was a terrible plan that the Texans had against one of the league's best receivers. And again, that's what happens in this league where good goes against bad. It looks like that, and that's what it looked like.
Devontae had his big day, 13 for 196, as I mentioned, 2 touchdowns. The second option seems to be the running back, whoever the running back is. It was Jamal Williams. We'll talk about that in a moment, too. But then as far as like a third guy, Malik Taylor caught a touchdown. Chase Sternberger caught a touchdown. But nobody's really stepped up from the non-running back position. I'm talking tight ends and wide receivers. I will make an exception. Tonyan, okay, against the Falcons, he had the 3 touchdowns. But I'm looking at a game like yesterday. I'm looking at a guy like MVS. Look, Lazard goes out. You're unquestioned the second receiver. You only get in the box score because you had a rush. At what point do the Packers realize they got to stop forcing this and it's just not working? Or is this something they believe in? I just wonder how much they continue to believe in this guy. Lazard goes out and MVS has not stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two ways of looking at it. One is it that a third option hasn't really stepped up, or two, is it that MVS hasn't stepped up? I would disagree that they haven't found third options. It's just that MVS hasn't stepped up into that role, and that's a big difference. And I don't think they're forcing it. He had 4 targets. He didn't catch any of them. But 4 targets is not force-feeding a guy the football over the course of the game, especially when, I mean, he's got to be out there because they do have injuries. So, you know, MVS is, maybe he's going to be what he's been, which is a big play threat, a guy that can get a 40-yarder on you once every 3 to 4 weeks, but is not going to be there consistently week in and week out as one of your top options. That's certainly possible. I think the bottom line is this offense is able to click pretty well without that.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, you mentioned the running backs. And when I first heard Sunday morning that Aaron Jones wasn't going to play, and we had kind of been expecting that over the weekend, but when I heard it Sunday morning, a guy like Aaron Jones, I think is great. I think the Packers should pay him. I want him to be here. But when I hear he's not playing, I'm not like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Because they got Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams is a starting running back caliber player, and he proved it again yesterday. I wonder if, you know, money comes to be in play with the offseason, if the Packers somehow say, well, we can have Aaron Jones or we could have Jamal Williams and then also squeeze in a Kevin King. I wonder if that's a way that they'll go. I think they need to keep Aaron Jones. I think a lot of us think Jones will stay. Jamal Williams is going to get signed somewhere else. What do you think the gap is between those two? I think that Aaron Jones has a level of explosiveness that you just don't find in a lot of backs. But Jamal Williams is certainly a starting caliber running back in this league, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, the gap is at least a full letter grade between the two. Like, if Aaron Jones is an A-minus, Jamal Williams is a B-minus. But a B-minus running back in this league is not average, right? I mean, that's still above average, and that's what Jamal Williams is. He's a good running back. He might not be a star. He's not Alvin Kamara. He's not Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. He's not Aaron Jones. But he is a good running back, and the real luxury of having Jamal Williams, it's not so much just the yardage. I mean, yeah, the fact that you can get your backup running back to have over 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown is a great luxury. But it's that when something happens to Aaron Jones late in the week, that calf strain, it was late in the week. They'd already laid a foundation for their game plan by that point. It's not like this happened early in the week. It's not like they expected it at the start of the week. It was late in the week, foundation of the game plan already in place. And they don't have to change all that much because not only is Jamal Williams productive, but he's also similar to Aaron Jones, a lighter version, but similar to Aaron Jones. He's also a dual threat. I mean, he can be a receiver. He can give you that versatility that Aaron Jones has. So, I the fact that they didn't have to change their game plan all that much, I think is a real benefit to that offense, especially with how late Aaron Jones' injury did come. And, you know, he's not the big playmaker that Aaron Jones is. You're not going to see him break off home runs, but he's a darn good running back.
The defense played well. I think a better team, given some of the opportunities that the Texans were given, especially the Packers started to have some three and outs offensively in the second half, could have made this a game if the Texans were a little bit better. Defense stepped up. Did you see more of a concerted effort from Mike Pettine and the defense to get more pressure than they did against Tampa a week ago?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Preston Smith is a great example of where sacks sometimes don't tell much of a story because he still didn't get a sack, still had a half sack on the year. But Preston Smith was the best player on the field for the Packers defense. The initial third and one where he trucked the right tackle 2 yards deep and blew up the play and they got the stop. The Za'Darius Smith sack where he got pressure from the other side and it kind of moved Deshaun Watson into Za'Darius Smith. The fourth and one late in the game, which was the play of the game on the option where he read it perfectly and snuffed out Deshaun Watson. He was all over the field. Didn't get a sack. He was all over the field. As a whole, you know, they still didn't make a whole bunch of big plays. Not like you saw last year, but their adversity defense was a lot better. You know, the after the block punt, holding the Texans to a field goal. That's big. That's what the Packers did a lot defensively last season. After the onside kick, getting the Henry Black fumble forced on David Johnson and recovering it and getting their first takeaway in 3 weeks. Before that takeaway at the end of the game, it had been since week three when Za'Darius Smith stripped Taysom Hill of the football in New Orleans that they had a takeaway. So it had been a long drought that for a defense that had 25 takeaways last year, now four on the season in six games. So their adversity defense was better, and then they kept the Texans off the scoreboard when the game was still competitive, I mean, until the very end. So, the defense had a good day along the lines of what they did against the Falcons. But, you know, you're talking about the Falcons and you're talking about the Texans, two of the worst teams in the league. You got to see what happens when they go against the better teams.
Ryan Woody pops on our three shows throughout the week. I want to be the show that asks you about Henry Black. And I want to ask you about, like, how much – because here's what happens for me. Packers, you know, now you can bring up a couple of practice squad guys with the way this year is. And I read the transaction email. And then, you know, I wasn't at all the practices like you guys were. I'd like to think that I cover the team in some sort of way. I'm not there, but, you know, I talk about them, I watch them, whatever. Henry Black, I see this 41 running around. I'm like, this one got by me. And then I listen to Aaron Rodgers in the press conference, and he like is so happy for Henry Black, like he's his own kid. Some of these guys that are late additions, do they ever catch you off guard, or you being, you know, covering the team like you do, are you like as in tune as anybody about just who exactly Henry Black is?
Yeah, no, I remember Henry Black from training camp, but I was certainly not expecting Henry Black to put his helmet perfectly on the football, tackling David Johnson and pop it out. That was a heck of a play for a kid that, I mean, he, it's like Adrian Amos said after the game, he had 3 snaps, 2 tackles, and a forced fumble. Those were his 3 snaps.
It's like Rudy. Rudy had 1 play, yeah. 1 sack.
It's incredible. So, you know, that's a memory I'm sure that Henry Black will take forever. That's a pretty incredible way to start your NFL career. With that said, no, he's not a well-known guy. You know, he had a good enough training camp to get on the practice squad. And so that's, you know, and then he's done good enough in practice squad to get a shot in the game, right, with the new rules. But, no, I mean, that's certainly a feel-good story.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys on the defense I could have talked to you about, Jair Alexander or Raven Green or Kamal Martin, Za'Darius Smith. I chose Henry Black. I feel good about it. We could talk about those other guys when we talk later in the week as we preview Packers-Minnesota. Ryan, you have a good rest of the week, and we will talk to you then.
All right, take care, Mark.
Ryan Wood, you can catch him on Twitter, by Ryan Wood on Twitter. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, if you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Great Midwest Bank is there to help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Talked a lot about MVS and his tendency to not step up. Packers, looks like they got a move in their back pocket. And I'm gonna set this up how Horvat did this morning about an hour ago. Packers acquire another weapon. That's right. Another weapon. I'm saying this facetiously. If you think that there's somebody besides Seth Roberts, it's not. That's what we're going to discuss, and we're going to do that next. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat on The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Hey, good morning from the 1250 AM The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvat. The update brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. And if you act now, you get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now and win winner with the Toro. First on The Fan, the Packers planning to sign wide receiver Seth Roberts after his release from the Carolina Panthers. Roberts released by Carolina after catching just 4 passes for 31 yards in 7 games this season. Had gone without a catch in each of the team's last 3 games. Wasn't even targeted actually on Sunday despite playing a season-high 19 snaps on offense. Green Bay intends to sign Roberts to their practice squad initially to get his start with the team. He has 183 receptions in his career for 2,128 yards and 15 touchdowns. Last season with Baltimore, he caught 21 balls for 271 yards and 2 scores. Monday Night Football last night, Josh Reynolds and Gerald Everett caught touchdown passes from Jared Goff as the Rams beat the Bears 24-10. Goff, 219 yards through the air. Malcolm Brown rushed for a score for the Rams. They're now 5-2. With the loss, the Bears dropped to 5-2 as well. World Series action continues tonight as the Dodgers look to wrap up the series at 7 in Game 6 against the Rays. Los Angeles leads 3-2. Tampa will try to even the series up with Blake Snell on the mound. Number 9, Wisconsin might be down to their 4th-string quarterback after Chase Wolf tested positive for COVID-19, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported on Monday night. Wolf, the Badgers' 3rd-stringer, was not at Monday's practice after testing positive for the virus. Read more online, 1250amthefan.com. Coming up, we're talking Packers football, a little Badgers as well on the Bar Weekly Morning Show.
Mm-hmm. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers begin installing the game plan tomorrow for the Vikings. After inside linebacker Christian Kirksey was placed on IR, rookie Chris Barnes stepped in. And on Sunday, Kamal Martin played, scoring 6 tackles in just 29 snaps in the win over the Texans. Now, Martin has not played in a game since last November when he suffered a knee injury in his senior year for the Minnesota Gophers.
It was just fun to get out there and play football again. You know, I haven't played football in a while after I got hurt last year. So it was just fun to get out there and fly around and just play ball again, know what I do and play how I play. So.
Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes both getting a lot of experience at inside linebacker, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. You know, we're building depth at that position, which is critical. The linebackers are the quarterback of the defense. They need to know what's going on and be able to handle just whatever checks or maybe within the play calls or different formations that you're seeing. So their communication, it's awesome to see young players be able to step into that role and do a good job.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
That's Seth Rollins.
Not Seth Rollins.
Not the wrestler?
No, not the Monday Night Messiah, now the savior of SmackDown.
I used to dominate in Madden with Seth Roberts out of the slot. For some reason, one year I ran a franchise with the Raiders. I was really into Derek Carr one year. Remember the year, like, they were good? And then Derek Carr got injured.
Yeah.
And they went to the playoffs, and they had to start, God, who did they start in that game? I want to say Connor Cook. Former Michigan State quarterback.
Sounds right.
Yeah, they were actually really good that year,
XFL
though.
Legend Connor Cook.
Yeah, they were really good that year. And I used to run streaks down the field with Seth Roberts out of the slot. So maybe LaFleur.
I lost the Super Bowl, by the way, in my Madden franchise.
Damn it.
Yeah, I was the Jets.
Yeah.
I went for 2 to win the game, and I lost to the Cowboys.
After a touchdown?
Yeah.
You were rolling the dice,
I was getting pretty braggadocious that that all Madden was easy, but then it, like, I wasn't connected to the server, so then it updated to match my skill.
Ah.
So now, then it got hard.
Is that what happened?
So now every game I play is, like, 28 to 27, and it just depends if...
Yeah, I like those. I
go for 2 or not.
You know what? While we're on this topic, I played a little Madden yesterday. I'm rolling a franchise with the Bills. Yesterday, we moved our record to 11-2 on the season. We fell down 17-0 early in the ballgame. And we came back, and we won it 24-21 on a late field goal. But I was down 17-0. You know, most men would hit the reset button. But while your guys are out partying, my guys are out running routes. I can't take all the credit for the win yesterday, though. It was the little digital guys with the big hearts that brought it home for me.
I didn't know how to feel yesterday because I'm at home. My mother-in-law stays with us a couple of days of the week.
And you're just playing Madden.
She is making dinner. My wife is in the office we had to make.
What was the Super Bowl?
She is making the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm like half watching my son.
Playing Madden.
Yeah. Basically, me watching my son playing Madden is me laying on the couch with the controller, and he loves anything that's electronic. So he's like,
Yeah.
And I'm like pushing him away.
Yeah, you're like, no. You know what? You could justify that, man.
Real big loser.
Are your mother-in-law and wife up right now as we speak?
They are watching the sun.
Oh, well then never mind. You're the jerk because usually I use that as my excuse. Like when I'm doing something during the weekend or when I come home and want to play some Madden and then my wife comes home from work and I'm like, I probably should have been cleaning up or something. I'm like, well, but then again, she wasn't up at 3:30 a.m. and I was. So my work day is over at 10 a.m. now.
Yeah.
But not really, because then my work day actually officially begins. The tough part of my job starts. I teach my kid
Yeah.
till 3 p.m. And then I cook dinner, and then I clean.
Your life right now kind of sucks.
Yeah, you know, today's one of those days where yesterday I had a tremendous amount of energy. Tomorrow I will. Thursday, Fridays I love. Today's like the Tuesdays have become like the new Wednesday, where I used to be like burned out. I'm very tired today.
Well, it's kind of a weird Tuesday. It was freezing in my car. I could see my breath.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a weird Tuesday.
Just, you know, the World Series is on tonight.
Excited for that. I really hope that the Rays could get it done, force the game 7. It's weird because, like, I don't care about baseball right now, but I don't want it to end because then we're down to literally, like, just football because we don't know when the NBA is coming back officially. It looks like in December. But I love football. But, I mean, I like having another sport still going down, so I'm kind of rooting for the Rays. Well, I mean, I'm really rooting for the Rays and Blake Snell tonight.
All right, we've delayed talking about Seth Roberts.
Yeah, I know.
Long enough. Somebody sent me a message last night. They said, Bart, what do you think about the Seth Roberts signing? And I said, who signed him? And they said, the Packers. Didn't you see Domofsky's tweet?
The Packers.
And I said, he blocked me. Mm. So I didn't. But it was sent to me. Rob Domofsky of ESPN tweeting that the Packers are bringing in veteran wide receiver Seth Roberts, who was released by the Panthers this week.
Yeah.
The source said a plan is to sign him to the practice squad at first, sort of like what Seattle's doing with Snacks Harrison, who we were intrigued with. Roberts has 183 career catches, 15 touchdowns, has played for the Raiders, Ravens, and Panthers. He played all the seven games for Carolina this season, just 4 grabs. 31 yards. He came into the league in 2014. He is 29 years old. This is Ryan Grant part 2 from a year ago, where you're going to bring in a guy and be excited about him.
Right, we're not going to see him.
I'm not. When are we going to see Seth Roberts?
I don't know. Should we have somebody on from
Carolina? How is this any different than when we had Robert Foster? Robert Foster came over from the Bills.
It was like when the Bucks got Stanley Johnson and we broke it down for like 2 hours and then he never played a game.
Well, last year we did a whole show on Ryan Grant.
Yeah. Should we have somebody on from Carolina, Oakland, Vegas, or where was the other stop at again? I forgot already.
Baltimore.
Yeah, he was actually in Baltimore last year. He caught 2 touchdowns with Baltimore last year from Lamar Jackson. Forgot about that. Hashtag people forget. Should we have somebody on to talk a little Seth Roberts? Talk some cone drills, his 40 time, route running. How is he in the locker room? Is he the team guy? Or is he going to be a headache? Like AB? No, Seth Roberts, baby.
Coming up later on the program, we are going to talk to somebody from the Moultrie Observer, Moultrie, Georgia's top newspaper. That's where Seth Roberts is from.
Okay, let's do it.
So
his high school offensive coordinator.
Well, I want to talk to the
wide receiver coach.
We can all look at the tape and see how he played with the Raiders and the Panthers. I want to know who this guy is, where he came from, how he was built.
The man behind the Roberts behind the Roberts kind of guy. Yeah.
This is the Seth Roberts show.
Yeah.
All Seth, all day, all the time. We've got somebody from the Moultrie Observer coming on.
Then we got somebody from the Raiders. We got somebody from the Ravens. We'll talk a little Panthers football. Why didn't he work out? And what can we expect from Seth Roberts? 414-799-1250. And also, how do you feel about the Badgers now?
And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to play for you. This is a great piece of audio put together by our producer, Jeff Orlowski. He took all of the 15 touchdowns that Seth Roberts has ever scored, and we will hear them all consecutively, the radio calls.
Really?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
All right.
So stick around. Nothing but Seth Roberts coming up the rest of the day. Actually, I think the odds are better that we don't mention him the rest of the day.
You know what? I'll take Seth Roberts. I mean, not that I don't love Darius Shepherd, but I've seen Seth Roberts catch NFL passes from different quarterbacks, from Lamar Jackson, from Derek Carr. He just never really panned out in Oakland. I'll take Seth Roberts, though. See what he's got. Take a waiver. I mean, he's no, like, Robbie Anderson. You know? It's not like Emmanuel Sanders. But he's a serviceable NFL player, I think. I don't know that we ever actually see him get into a game, though. This is like you said, like when we got excited about Ryan Grant 2.0. He never played.
I think there's a lot of talk about, with the trade deadline coming up next week, a week from today, there's a lot of, well, could the Packers do this? Could the Packers do this? I think more so than not, people are resigned to the fact that this is like these are the kind of moves they're going to make. I don't think anybody, I don't think too many people legitimately think the Packers are trading for J.J. Watt, Julio Jones.
No.
And even guys in the lower tier. I don't know. Who else have you guys thrown out there? Michael Gallup?
That's why I don't want to do
Tyler
like...
Tyler Boyd?
Like, I couldn't imagine being a producer of a radio show and coming up with like a topic like, should the Packers trade for J.J. Watt? Because it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, what's next? Where are you watching the game? And then the other thing, like, so here's the thing, Bart, okay? Here's why the Seth Roberts signing maybe makes me a little nervous, being serious right now. Does that mean, because isn't Alan Lazard, I'm so confused with the IR this year. Isn't Alan Lazard eligible?
3 weeks.
So he'd be eligible
this week.
He'd
be on it for 3 weeks, and then I think they have 3 weeks to bring him off. That's, so really it's like six.
So next week he'd be able to come back officially, Alan Lazard would. Do you think that's by, and this is maybe a dumb question, and I'm being serious. Do you think maybe by like signing Seth Roberts, can't believe we're talking about this, they're worried about the depth, like since EQ can't run an NFL route apparently and is now a special teams player, do you think that maybe like Lazard is still a couple weeks away and so now they're worried about the depth and they're bringing in a guy like Seth Roberts? Or do you think it's just like an insurance policy? Because I want Lazard
no,
back.
Good question. Good question. I think that it's pretty much like...
It's like, I don't remember Lazard even getting hurt.
Well, what do we know about Brian Gutekunst? And I'm going to be 100% serious here, too. No tongue-in-cheek at all here. Brian Gutekunst, the moves that the Packers make, it's not improving the team with better talent. It is improving the team by making the talent you have already better by motivating him. That's why the first-round pick of Jordan Love, 652, first mention of his name today, that's why it was such a brilliant move, because it made Aaron Rodgers good again. So I'm thinking that they're signing Seth Roberts to motivate MVS.
Stop.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what the Packers do. Don't they sign other guys to motivate other guys?
I promise you this, man, like, and this is all seriousness.
Coming up after the break, should the Packers sign Tremont Williams to motivate Josh Jackson?
And Clay Matthews, too, to play inside linebacker.
To motivate Ty Summers.
And let's bring Jordy back, too, while we're at it. Actually, we should bring Jordy back, and I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding here.
I want Randall Cobb back.
I really do, too. I really do, too. And I'm not kidding when I say this.
But at least he's in the league.
I really mean this. This is 100% serious. This is not me being a smartass. I trust Seth Roberts on the field more than MVS. I do.
Well,
I've seen enough from MVS. I really have. Now, if you want to run an end around and he wants to stay in bounds for a first down with his speed, okay. But, like, I'm kind of done with MVS. So, if Seth Roberts or Seth – I keep wanting to say Seth Rollins. If he wants to, you know, take that spot, I maybe trust him more, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, this is going to be hard not to say.
Seth Rollins. I know.
I don't like that he's on the same brand as Roman Reigns, because then you got to keep them apart now.
Why?
Well, they're not going to feud. They're both heels.
Mm, yeah. I feel like there are no such thing as heels in wrestling again, though.
And I don't like that. I don't like what's going on with our guy Otis.
Yeah, we should probably have him back on the show and talk about that. His buddy turned on him. No, nobody knows what we're talking about right now. There's like 13% of people that actually still watch wrestling. We may have had like 30 or 35 until the pandemic hit, and now there's like no fans, and the storylines are the same, and the same dudes have been fighting for 6 months.
Oh, the Roman Reigns storyline's great.
Well, that's good, but everything else kind of stinks. Nobody cares, except for us.
And
I don't even really care.
We can't quit. My mother-in-law's making me dinner. My wife's making the money.
And you're playing Madden and watching grown men wrestle around. Fake wrestling. Yikes. And now we're talking Seth Roberts. We need to restart the show at 7 a.m., I think. I think we got to figure out. There's a couple things I think we should do some detective work today.
Yeah.
We got to figure out who the hell the Badgers quarterback is.
Right.
Because Chase Wolf now has COVID-19.
Yeah, we'll do
Grant
that
Mertz
next.
Has COVID-19.
Yeah.
Jack Cohen's got something wrong with his foot that we like, what is the injury? We still don't know. I know it was non-contact and he had surgery. That's all that we're told. What a weird year of college football. Like, the Big Ten's screwed. This ain't happening. That's not me being Dr. Death or anything like that. It's just now if
Mertz and Wolf are out. That's 21 days they got to miss. What if, like, anybody else on the team gets this virus? Then that's 21 days they all got to sit.
Ready or not, here it comes.
You need to play at least 6 games to get into the Big Ten title game. So if the Badgers were, like, shut down for 3 weeks.
Well, Chris thinks the game's still on. We'll hear a little bit from him coming up.
Yeah, okay. So what is it going to be? Wildcat to Groscheck the whole time, though? Like, who's the quarterback? Is there another quarterback?
It's Danny Vandenboom.
Is this real?
He's from Kimberly, I think.
Okay. Is he a freshman? I should know these things, but I didn't think we'd be on quarterback 4 week 2.
Right. It's almost like there shouldn't be a college football season, but they're doing it. So we're gonna talk about who's playing quarterback coming up for the Wisconsin Badgers this weekend.
And then we got to figure out what are Seth Roberts' strengths and what are his weaknesses.
Right, and then when the Packers play the Vikings, because we'll start to preview that game, we got to figure out
where we're gonna watch.
Where are you watching the game, and are you tailgating,
and with whom? Tuesday, baby. Woo! We gotta get some clapping going.
We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.